Hey everybody, this is Dr. Zach Clinton, licensed counselor from the American Association of Christian Counselors, with your Mental Health Minute.
If you struggle with addiction, it's not because you're bad. You're addicted because you're in pain. A man once told me, every time I relapse, it starts with loneliness. That's the secret behind most addictions. They begin as some sort of pain management. You see, addiction is often a coping mechanism, not a moral failure. Clinically, healing requires addressing the need beneath the behavior. In John chapter 4, Jesus doesn't shame the woman at the well. He offers her living water. Transformation starts when we bring our wounds, not just our willpower, to Jesus. So ask yourself, what am I really seeking when I run to that bad habit? Bring that wound into God's presence and consider talking with a therapist or maybe a mentor about it.
This has been your Mental Health Minute with Dr. Zach Clinton. For more information, visit AACC.net. That's AACC.net.
Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's get started.
I'm Dr. Tim Clinton. On behalf of my son, Zach Clinton, who is co-host and a licensed professional counselor in residence, I want to say welcome and thank you for listening. Thanks for making us a part of your day. Hopefully, you'll grow closer to God and those you love with us each and every day. That said, I cannot think of a better guest than my dear friend and colleague, Dr. Gary Sipsey. Dr. Sipsey is a professor of clinical psychology and the founding director of Liberty University's doctoral program in clinical psychology. He's a licensed clinical psychologist who has educated, trained, and supervised psychologists and counselors for over 20 years. Dr. Sipsey has been in clinical practice for nearly 30 years and is a governor-appointed board member to the Virginia Board of Psychology. He has a broad range of research and clinical interests, including the assessment and treatment of childhood disorders, anxiety and trauma disorders, and personality disorders. Gary writes, speaks, consults nationally and internationally. Dr. Sipsey, what a delight to have you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Gary, as we get started, everybody, I think, agrees that mental health issues with our children, while they're soaring, I mean, we're seeing massive, again, upticks, or we've seen that, in stress and anxiety, depression, even suicidality. Self-harm's a big issue, Gary. And I think a lot of parents, it scares them to think maybe there's something happening in our home, especially if there's some distance that's starting to take place. Gary, I want to step into this world. What are you seeing? You're out there on the front lines every day. What are you seeing that concerns you about mental health-related issues, the stress, the pressure that our kids are under, and keeping the family cohesive unit together and flowing in a direction where we feel close, connected, and our kids are healthy?
Well, you know, a number of different things that you talked about that we're concerned that our kids are engaging in, that we see more and more kids engage in what we call tension reduction behaviors. These are things where they may cut themselves or, you know, engage in destructive behaviors. And you might ask, well, why are they doing this? And part of what drives these kind of behaviors are really dysregulated emotions, dysregulated feelings, is that our kids are lacking in the skills for managing and dealing with their emotions and being able to problem solve when they're feeling emotionally activated. So how do they learn these skills? And as we've talked on and on, that the very cutting edge of neuroscience is that the brain learns the skills of thinking, feeling, relating, and communicating and problem solving in the context of relationship interactions and these, you know, in the day-to-day stuff that goes on between a parent and a child. This is the context where you learn how to do that.
Our kids are up against a lot, Gary. Let's just be honest here for a moment. When they pack up and go to school, when they're at after-school activities, whether it's sports or what have you, we don't know everything that's coming at them. We don't know what they're experiencing up online and how they're getting pounded online. And so, again, bringing it back, if they don't have these key skills, they're getting beat up pretty bad, maybe even bullied in this world, and they're getting lost. Mom, Dad, turn this up, because what are some of the key elements you begin to teach, Gary? What do you spend a lot of your time in when you're doing therapy with families and these kids one-on-one that really, again, is manifesting and showing up as a real deficit that they need to work on?
Well, one of the skills is learning empathy skills. So we teach parents empathy is not just, you know, being sympathetic. It's not just being compassionate. Those are important. But empathy is actually a skill. So we break it down into two pieces. One is emotional empathy, and thought empathy is, why do they feel that way? Now, how do you help them learn this? Well, helping parents learn it, and how do you help your child learn what they feel and why they feel that way? That's crucial if you're going to be able to go on to problem solving. So one of the things that you have to learn as a parent is to listen, when your child's upset, is learning to ask them, what's up? What's happened? Give me the story. So having your child give you the story of what's happened, listening to them without interrupting, without judging them, without jumping to like, well, there's the problem, you shouldn't have done that. It's just hear them out and then learn how to summarize back to them what they just told you, right? Now, believe it or not, this is huge, because if you can't do that, then they don't think you heard them.
Gary, I can imagine a few people listening right now saying, hey, wait a second. I hear you, but you don't know my kids. They don't want to talk. I mean, it's like when you try to sit down with them and ask them how their day's going, they look at you like, are you kidding me? Or they grunt or something, you know? Gary, how do you break through that wall? If we don't have, we've lost our emotional connectedness, you know that? And typically all they want to do is come home and go up into their room and lock the door and jump on, get up online.
Well, now as you and I had talked in another episode, that's a time when you have to begin with the banking time and special time, right? Just so that your child enjoys being around you, right? And feels close enough to you and willing to just engage you. But, and so then you got to work on repairing your relationship. But even in a relationship that's a repaired relationship, in day-to-day interactions, we want to help our kids learn, you know, how to do this. So, for example, just the other day, a mom comes in, tells me that her son, you know, had this huge temper tantrum, and we looked at, well, what happened? And the little fella's sister came in his room and took his, his PlayStation controller, and he was just really ticked off about it, went stomping into her room, pulled it out of her hands, pushed her on the bed, and went stomping back into his bedroom. And of course, the sister yelled, you know, bloody murder. And so mom goes upstairs to have this conversation with him. And she now she's, this is the time to have one of these conversations of like, what happened? Right? Why did you do that? Rather than just jumping right into, you know, issuing out punishments so she's learned how to have these conversations with him, and she wanted to hear the story. Like, what happened? And he said, well, she came in and took my controller, and I went and I took it back from her. He said, well, okay. Now, this was an important piece. So she came in and took your controller. So you were ticked off at her because she did this, and I understand that. But here's the problem. We don't do those kind of things when we get mad, right? You're not going to put your hands on your sister. You're not going to push her down, and you're not going to, you know, you're not going to get physical. All right. So now we're going to have to come up with a different way of handling a problem like that besides what you did. So she was able to set the stage for that, right? And literally, you know, heard him out and told him, I understand why you're angry. I get it, but you can't handle it that way. And that's a part of what we call emotion coaching and emotional problem solving. Now, it sounds easier than what it really is, but you notice the difference was that she didn't just jump right into a punishment mode with him. Because had she done it, it could have really turned into even more of a disaster. So then at that point, you want to help them find other ways. How do you deal with that? You need to be able to do this on a day-to-day basis. It doesn't have to be so dramatic like that. We also see it if, you know, your child comes in from the bus stop and they throw their book bag down and they're in a really bad mood of asking, so what happened? What's got you so upset? And see if they'll give you the story over some milk and cookies while you're sitting at the kitchen counter so you can hear them out. A lot of times parents are so bothered by, it's so easy to be bothered by your child's negative feelings that you find yourself just wanting to say,
shut it down. You just want to shut it down. You want to kill it. That's what you want to do. But Gary, listen, some people listening right now probably thinking that takes a lot of work. You're talking about a lot of work. It's exhausting. What happens then is we tend to escalate. In other words, control the situation. So that's where you see typically people go off and they just want to, quote, hey, give that back right now and everybody get to their rooms and forget this thing. Gary, rather than working it out, which really sets up what you were talking about earlier, and that's that relational connectivity thing. How many times have we heard the old adage, rules without relationship leads to rebellion, rules with relationship leads to respect? We've heard that. What mom and dad need to hear, and this is important, parenting is a responsibility. It takes work. You can't just put kids in a box and, you know, pour a little milk on them and expect them to grow. We have to, quote, get connected with them, spend time with them. And what's beautiful here, Gary, and I think this is where people miss it, if you would get connected with your son or daughter, your parenting would probably be a whole lot easier. It really would.
Oh, yeah.
And Gary, we're not talking about a lot of time. You teach relational connectedness. So you're saying, well, you just talked about the empathy skills training. That works best when you have a healthy relationship with your son or daughter. If you don't have a healthy relationship with them, it's probably not going to work very well.
Right. And, you know, and I also encourage parents to think it's not just during these heated interactions. Now, you can actually upgrade your parenting a little bit and help your child become a better thinker. Well, how can you do that? Well, ask them something like this. I'm okay with you getting those shoes. I don't have a problem with it, but why those shoes and not those shoes, right? So see, in this situation, your child feels something, right? They feel something, but they don't really understand why. And there's a lot going on in the brain when you're able to think and feel simultaneously, that you have a feeling, something's important to you, and you have to now explain why that's important. Now, as a parent, you're kind of creating a barrier you're not trying to be just, you know, obstructive just to be obstructive. You're being constructively obstructive. Right? Because you're making them use logic to obtain what it is that they need rather than just emotion. And that's a key parenting principle. Anytime you have an opportunity, like, oh, you're going to go play baseball with your buddies? That's fine. That's fine. Hey, before you go, though, I want you to tell me something. How could you make it funner than what it is? I know you enjoy doing it, but if you could change one thing about your game, what do you have to do? Oh, Dad, I don't know. Well, just give me one thing, right? I want him to be a little more creative. And he goes, you know, I think that they would pitch a little closer because they keep trying to pitch from so far away like they're big leaguers and nobody gets it across the plate and we stand out there waiting all day. I think they should move closer. I said, I think it's a brilliant idea, but what if they hit the ball back at you and smack you in the head? Right. So then we get in this, oh, no, then nobody even hits it that hard. And we don't even use a hard ball. So then you got them in this dynamic interaction that's problem solving. And you need I usually tell parents, try to get three or four of those in a day. And your child's going to engage you because they want to get what they want to get. Now they have to go through you and use logic to get there.
Believe it or not, mom and dad, what I've consistently found is our kids, the number one thing that really still makes them happy is a good relationship with you. They want that connectedness. They need that. And as Chuck Swindoll and Paul Tournier and others have said, the busy, preoccupied parent often misses many a cue or opportunity to be in those moments, those special teachable moments that our kids need and that we need to build us. Hey, you're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, co-host. Our special guest is Dr. Gary Sibsey. We're talking about emotionally healthy kids and some critical skills training that mom and dads need to battle through those tough spots, those tough issues in families. Gary, I'm going to come back here. We're fighting time a little bit, but empathy skills training, problem skills training, keep us going in this direction. Mom, dad, these are the gifts. Get these, because in this culture that we live in, it's not your daddy's Oldsmobile. We don't live in yesterday. When we grew up, the day is different. There's so much coming at us, coming at our kids, coming at our families that we're in a fight, and we've got to win this fight, because the greatest thing we can do is pour into and raise a healthy generation of kids.
Well, you know, one of the things I was thinking about, we were talking about the special time thing and you know, sometimes it's very useful and very relationally building when you can engage with your child in some activity and they are better at it than you. For you as a parent to be able to say to them, all right, show me how to do this. I'm not very good at it, right? And there's few things that kids love more than to take that opportunity to teach you something, right? And then now you can use that as a feedback about how good, I don't get this. So don't put me down, or don't make fun of me. I can't get it right. And you might go, well, why are you doing this? Well, one of the things that you want to teach your kids is what it's like, right, to teach somebody. But you also want to model for them how to take feedback. And on the flip side, you want to shift your attention more toward the positive things. Learn how to ignore. So learning this sort of selective ignoring process is huge. As we talked about the boss thing before, if a boss is always picking out your negatives and they kind of ignore your positives, you start to lose heart.
Gary, we're fighting time. We only have a couple minutes left here, but I want to address the issue of differences just for a second. Sometimes there's a real disconnect between parents and children because there's differences in personality, maybe interests, skills, or what have you. And I'm not sure, well, hey, let's say this. Sometimes parents may say, I don't really like my son or daughter. You had better figure this out. Mom, dad, turn up the volume here for a second. Remember that old song, What I Like About You? You better figure out what it is that you love about your son or daughter, because they are picking up on the cues that you're sending. And if there's something between you, Gary, this is true, isn't it? You've got to get this fixed.
Well, and you know, so you may love your child to death, but not really like them, and they really get on your nerve. But your child is not able to make that distinction in their head, right? So they don't, most kids, especially if they're under 11 or 12 years old, can't go, yeah, my parent loves me, but they don't really like me because I'm annoying. That younger kids can't do that kind of thinking. They just think that you don't love them. And of course, this makes them angry, or, you know, they get more defiant. But these are the type of children that sometimes are referred to as difficult temperaments. And so parents need to recognize that, okay, if my child is like this, it may be because of sensory sensitivities or sensory modulation difficulties that they're having. And they have this low frustration tolerance and they're cognitively rigid. So that's going to require some different parenting. This is huge for parents, is to realize that parenting is not a one-size-fits-all approach, right? You can't just use one parenting approach for all your kids. Pay attention to just how your child handles actually sensory input. They get overwhelmed by sound, by too much visual stimulation.
Gary, that's why they call it parenting. It's about being really emotionally invested in our relationship with our children and training them up as it says in Proverbs, in the way they should go. You know, I love the interpretation of that verse in two ways. One says, train them up in the ways of the Lord, and we agree with that. Another interpretation could be, train them up with their natural bent. In other words, attuned to their uniqueness. I like a both and piece there. God gives you a connection and hopefully a relationship that will lead them ultimately to the feet of Jesus and strengthen their walk as they go into adulthood and make their own way and have their own influence with their own families. That's what this is all about. That's what life, love, faith, and family is all about. It's just coming to you every day with a message of helping you strengthen your relationship with God and the ones you love the most. Dr. Sipsey, what a delight to have you. Thank you so much for joining us. Can't wait to get you back.
Thank you, Tim. Look forward to it.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference, with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ellers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. The 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Zach Clinton, licensed counselor from the American Association of Christian Counselors, with your Mental Health Minute.
What you consume today becomes how you think tomorrow. A student once told me that he constantly felt anxious and foggy. When he examined his screen time, it was filled with 7 hours of mindless scrolling and negativity. You see, clinically, that's called cognitive priming. Your brain reflects what you repeatedly feed it. Spiritually, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 calls us to focus on what is true, noble, and pure. You can't expect clarity when you're consuming chaos. So audit your media input today. Cut out one source of noise and add in one source of truth, like scripture, worship, or uplifting teaching. Change your diet, and it will change your mindset.
This has been your Mental Health Minute with Dr. Zach Clinton. For more information, visit aacc.net. That's aacc.net.